This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. You're listening to 107.7 WTPL. We're also streaming live on the World Wide Web at WTPLFM.com. We'd also love for you anytime you want to give us a call and chat, 866-823-1077. And so I wanted to get your take on Caitlyn Jenner.
Caitlyn Jenner, formerly known as Bruce Jenner, and the transformation from man to woman. Mm-hmm. And the picture on the cover of, is it Harper's Bazaar? No.
Vanity Fair.
I'm sorry. That was all over the internet yesterday. What is my opinion on it? Well, my opinion is to each his or her own. Mm-hmm. I'm totally fine with what people want to do with their lives. I don't really judge. I mean, you know, here's the thing I found interesting, though, is I had a number of people point out online that they thought the picture of Caitlyn posing, you know, not provocatively, but in you know, somewhat revealing clothes, and the hair and the face looked a little bit like Jessica Lange, the actress. And so somebody apparently reached out to her, and she said she was honored and flattered to have been compared to Caitlyn Jenner, who's made this very public transformation, of course, part of the Kardashians and the interview with Diane Sawyer. And I think that she's handled it beautifully. So I'm all for it.
I am so with you. I was very touched watching that Diane Sawyer interview.
Yep.
You know, he just seems like such a real person. I mean, you feel bad for him that he went through so many years like that.
Yeah, he then was tortured.
Yes.
Now she is liberated.
Yes. And, you know, really, it was after the show yesterday, and I went up, you know, just to, you know, end the day up there, and I'm looking through email, and I saw, you know, TMZ, Caitlyn Jenner comes out, and I'm like, oh my gosh. I click on it, and it comes up, and I'm like, well, that's not him. I kind of go back down. I'm like, wait a minute, I mean, I thought he looked pretty darn good.
Gotta say she now. She. I know it's hard to get used to.
She did.
Yeah.
I mean, really, she's done a lot to get herself that way. And
well, you know what? I think that the cover of Vanity Fair is that one will become one of those iconic magazine covers.
Sure.
Over that, you know, 50 years from now, people will still look back at that as a very important moment in journalism,
yeah,
I think.
In history.
I'm sure a lot of people are not in favor of the things that we just said. But hey, you know what?
Well, like you said,
how can you judge if you don't walk in his or her shoes,
right,
or pumps, as the case may be?
Hey, he likes the pumps. She likes the pumps.
We need to get back to food.
Yes.
Our next guest, Carol, is a New Englander and has written a book that you and I both fell in love with because
we
each have a copy and we'll start cooking from it soon. It's called New England Open House Cookbook. Sarah Leah Chase, who is from the Cape and lives on Barnstable. This is Sarah. Hi, Sarah. We'd like to welcome author of the cookbook, New England Open House Cookbook, Sarah Leah Chase. A New Englander, lives, I believe, Barnstable on the Cape, correct?
That's correct.
I have to tell you, when I first cracked open the book, it was really nice to see that your friend Ina Garden wrote a really nice foreword for your cookbook, and you actually met her at a store that you ran on Nantucket, right?
That's true. I had a shop called Que Sera Sera. That was a takeout food shop and catering business, which I ran throughout the 1980s. And towards the end of that time, Ina and her husband Jeffrey came out for vacation at the end of their season on Nantucket and wanted to check out my shop. And that's how we met, and we've been great culinary buddies ever since.
Yeah, and you're actually one of her recipe consultants, true?
Yes, that's true. Yes, she's just a lot of fun to work with.
Hi, Sarah. This is Carol.
Hi.
At 13, it seems like, is that when you started your food career? Talk to me about cooking at the home of your aunt and uncle.
Okay. Well, I can't say it was my career then, but that's when the passion was instilled. I grew up in Connecticut, but I went out the summer I was 13 to be a mother's helper for their three-year-old son, and my aunt and uncle were the antiques business, and they did a lot of entertaining of their clientele, and I found myself spending as much time in the kitchen as I was spending with childcare duties, and that's where my lifelong passion for home cooking began.
And yeah, and you used to go down and buy the fish. And I mean, at 13, I think that's quite
amazing.
Well,
you know, Nantucket was different than other places in the country. It had a European, you know, flair to it, and it was an island, and you had to celebrate what was there. This was before the, you know, day and age of the internet. So you'd, you know, walk to the bakery, and the Portuguese bread was the bread of the island, and the vegetable farm would bring a wagon into Main Street every morning and sell their fresh vegetables. And so provisioning was all done on foot, and it was a lot of fun, and it's still done that way today.
Yeah, I actually visited Nantucket for my first time ever last summer, and part of our little sailing trip took us all the way down to the end of the Elizabethan Islands. Have you ever been to Cuttyhunk?
You know, I haven't, but it's in my neck of the woods, and I hope someday I'll be able to get there.
Well, don't plan on bringing your car over, because the only transportation I saw on Cuttyhunk, which is this tiny little place but so charming, was golf carts and old pickup trucks.
Well, you know, I love that. I love that idea, you know, much better than Suburbans and Range Rovers.
Sure. Now, you dove into local spiral-bound community cookbooks, I think, as sort of part of your research, and that's about as New England as it gets, really.
You know, it is. I just like to do, you know, my research, you know, all over the place. Part of it, I just say I keep my eyes, ears, and mouth open, you know, wherever I am. But, you know, the Spiral Brown cookbooks really do reflect the way people cook at home. And one of the things I tried really hard to do in this book was not to have it be, you know, so flashy, reflecting the latest trends in Boston or Providence or Portland, Maine is a great restaurant city, because they were the trends that are happening all over the country. I really wanted to get that rural essence of New England. And you find those ideas in the old community cookbooks.
You know, in talking about your most recent cookbook, New England Open House, which I have a copy of and I absolutely love it.
Thank you.
Tell me more about the inspiration behind, you know, creating that book.
Well, interestingly enough, it was not originally my idea to write this cookbook. Peter Workman, who's the founder of Workman Publishing, who's been my publisher for five of my cookbooks, suggested it to me. And at first, I sort of balked. The last two books I'd written had been based in Europe. I ran bicycle trips over there, and the books were pedaling through Provence and pedaling through Burgundy. And, you know, I always thought I loved munching on a baguette more than a Parker House roll or Tuscan beans more than Boston baked beans. But at first, you know, I didn't embrace the idea, but then I began to think about it and to concentrate on, you know, what was right in my own backyard. And I realized that, you know, no matter where I traveled, I always came home to my kitchen in New England and cooked there, and couldn't imagine living anywhere else but New England. And so I soon warmed up to the idea, you know, a taste of a great Vermont cheddar or a crispy piece of bacon from a New Hampshire smokehouse or the Maine lobster or a great Rhode Island calamari or beach plums from just across the way here at Barnstable Harbor, quickly convinced me that, yes, I could be game to write the New England cookbook.
All right, talk to me. You mentioned bacon here a minute ago. The secret of great clam chowder, and you know, from your perspective, and I have to say, looking at your recipe, the crumbled slice of bacon on top of every serving, kind of, you had me there.
Totally makes that.
Well, you know, that is one of the secrets. I also use another old New England trick in my clam chowder that may sound somewhat shocking, but don't knock it till you try it. I use evaporated milk. You know, in the old days, there wasn't a lot of refrigeration, so, you know, evaporated milk was something that was shelf-stable. But, you know, I find it is something that gives the true New England savor to clam chowder. Another secret is don't skip on the clams. It's called clam chowder for a reason. Put a lot of clams in it.
That is so true.
All right, let's go from surf to turf here briefly, because we don't have a lot of time left. Your favorite New England burger, and the takeaway for me was 80% lean, no more than that, because you want to get all the good fat flavor that it was meant to have.
Right. Fat is flavor. And, again, you're attracted by bacon. New England burger, of course, has good applewood smoked bacon on top and good sharp Vermont cheddar. And, you know, there are all kinds of newfangled, you know, burgers, but nothing captures, you know, three of New England's greatest flavors than, you know, having some meat with some good flavor, some good cheddar cheese, and, of course, crispy bacon.
Okay, Sarah, I have a question for you. If you invited me over for dinner one night, what would you make me? What would be on the menu?
Well, first I'd find out what you,
I like
you, know, what you really like. You know,
I like anything.
People in the city have allergies or whatever. So, you know, first I'd try and figure out whether it was going to be, you know, seafood, chicken, or red meat.
All right, let's say seafood. This time of year is perfect for New England seafood.
Okay. I would, you know, do something fish-wise. I think that salmon is, you know, is kind of like a safe bet when you don't know somebody, like chickens. And I love it. We eat salmon, you know, at least once a week. And I might do, to, you know, harken to the essence of New England, maybe maple glazed salmon.
I think that sounds good. Wonderful.
Well, I'm
salmon,
coming too, if that's what you're making.
Salmon's actually one of my favorite dishes, and I eat it probably about once a week
well,
as well.
This, you know, this has the maple gives it the New England spin, but it also has an Asian, you know, element to it with fresh ginger and sesame oil combined with the maple syrup. So you get the sweet, the hot, the pink, the fishiness. It's a pretty dish.
I have to say, I really like the fact, Sarah, that you included a New England radio personality that folks around here may not know, but you certainly grew up listening to The Real Bob Steele on WTIC in Hartford, and he essentially motivated you and a lot of other people in that area to put a little different spin on their scrambled eggs.
Well, you know, I just did an interview with WTIC and was talking about Bob Steele, and I'm happy you picked up on that, too, because he really was a great radio personality. And, yes, his scrambled eggs have cottage cheese mixed into them. I made them, you know, last week. I probably have them once a week for breakfast, scrambled eggs with cottage cheese. Don't knock it till you try it.
Just scrambled up all together?
Yeah, you just, you know, you beat your eggs, throw in, you know, a good, like half cup of cottage cheese. I've got fresh chives growing, you know, in my herb box right now, so I usually put some fresh chives there, a little salt and pepper, butter in the pan, scramble it. It's delicious.
It's actually fairly healthy, too, and I'm on a healthy kick right now, so I think I'm going to try that tomorrow morning. I am.
Cottage cheese is a great source of protein, and it just adds a super creaminess to the eggs.
Mm. Well, we're going to encourage people to go out and buy your book, despite the fact that you're a Yankees fan. But we'll let that slide for the next interview.
But that's okay. My son makes up for it. He's a Red Sox fan. And, you know, I follow the Red Sox as well. But, you know, you got to, you know, I grew up in Connecticut, and that's the dividing line between Red Sox and Yankees.
New England Open House Cookbook from Sarah Leah Chase, who lives on the Cape and covers all of New England in her latest cookbook. It's a very approachable book, and you'll have all the ingredients readily accessible, if not at home, in your local stores. It was great talking with you, Sarah. Thank you.
You're very welcome. My pleasure.
So are you really going to try the cottage cheese? Why not give it a shot once, right?
I am definitely trying it. I mean, I'm always trying to find new things for breakfast, so I think it sounds pretty interesting. I'll be very anxious to try. I mean, you know, and at that point, you could even scramble in a couple vegetables. I mean, I think I might keep it simple, like Sarah said, do it with like some fresh chives. That sounds really good.
Right.
I'll just try it. Just
interesting
like that.
How a local radio personality. He was the biggest personality in Connecticut for many, many years. So you can have that kind of effect on people. You start talking about it on the air, then suddenly people start trying it, and voila, it makes it to a cookbook.
There you go. Hey, so. So what else is happening?
It's break time.
It is break time.
It is.
It is break time. You're listening to Food for Thought. And when we come back, we'll be talking with Shelley Walcott of Healthy Solutions Spice Blends. You can check her out on the web at healthysolutionsspiceblends.com. And she's going to talk about a contest that she had. And there was a grand prize winner somewhere out in the Midwest. And she's going to be calling in and joining us as well. So stay tuned. Food for Thought will be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. We're at the Beacon Building right in downtown Manchester at 814 Elm Street. And let's welcome on our next guests. They are waiting for us. Let's first welcome on Shelley Wolcott of Healthy Solution Spice Blends. Welcome, Shelley.
Hi, how are you?
Very good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having us.
Yes. And so why don't you let the listeners know what was the contest that you had started and what has happened during it?
Okay, so what we did is Healthy Solutions Spice Blends put out a call for our annual blogger recipe challenge. And what we did is we invited home cooks that had food blogs to participate. And the first 100 qualified bloggers were able to enter an original recipe using one of our 16 spice blends. So what we did is we had some amazing recipes that were put in. And we're lucky enough to have with us today, too, is the winner of the contest. She won a $500 cash prize. And her recipe was not only delicious and wonderful, but it was healthy. And I'd love her to tell you about it.
That sounds great. So let's welcome on Lauren Weiler. Welcome, Lauren.
Hi.
And congratulations.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and you know, I did get to check out your blog as well, Fleur Delectable, and
yes.
Great pictures and great content. And so let's tell the listeners a little bit about your recipe.
Thank you so much. I'm a mom of two kids, and when I saw that, you know, what the Healthy Solutions Spice Blend offered, it just really spoke to me. I have numerous people in my family that have high blood pressure that really watch their salt. And with little kids, I want to start introducing them to things that are healthy and great for them. And I just had a lot of fun coming up with something to fit that I knew would be family friendly and still use the spice blends in a different way.
So, and how did you do that? Like what recipe did you incorporate?
So I kind of took a Greek inspiration and made a turkey Greek taquito with cucumber tzatziki yogurt sauce on top.
It looks amazing. That is like my kind of meal, too. It really is.
Thank you.
And the nice thing about it for us is our test kitchen had to test. It didn't have to. We loved it. We tested the top recipes, and Lauren's recipe was not only easy to make, but because it tasted so good. I mean, we had, I think, 7 final judges eating it, and it was unanimous that she was the winning recipe. It was great.
Aww. That's very nice to hear. Thank you.
And, you know, and Shelley, I need to tell you also, I, you know, since you were a guest on the show and you left me, I was sick that day. But you left me with quite a few of those packages of your spice blends, and I'm on my healthy eating right now. I use that almost every night for dinner.
It's amazing. You know what? It's funny. Our philosophy is that healthy is good, but healthy and great tasting is even better.
It totally is.
And it totally is. We've really found a nice niche with the product. It's healthy, it tastes great, it's easy, it's reasonably priced. You know, of course, I'm going to tell you all sorts of wonderful things about the product. I do want folks to know that they can. Our website is spiceblends.com. And for your listeners today, what we have done is set up a special coupon code so that if they do go to the site and they want to purchase, they would, if they use the code... radio. Almost forgot what it was. The code radio, they will get free shipping on their order.
Oh, very nice. Okay. All right.
Shelley, this is Mike. You and I shared the microphones that day because, as Carol mentioned, she was unable to be here. She was sick. And I did divvy up all the spice blends. I made sure that she got half, and we each have been using them. But I, for those that may have missed this, and it was 2 months ago that you were on with us, I loved the story of you looking at this company and deciding that you would like to take it over and that you could probably do a better job. So for those that missed it, give us a little bit of the background on how you started Healthy Solution Spice Blends.
Okay, well, for the last, I don't want to tell you how many years of my life, I was a software quality engineer. So surprisingly, I was paid to complain about things, which I was quite good at. But the other part of my life was all about food. You know, when anyone comes to my house, they never leave hungry. As a matter of fact, my best friend always told me that we never warned her that she needed to wear an less elastic waistband on her pants when she came for the first Thanksgiving. Anyway, you know, we're all about cooking, but it was really a part-time after-work thing, and it was always very hard to get a decent meal on the table quickly. So a software engineer for 100 years, and I was finally laid off from the company I was working for, and that, to me, was the opportunity I needed. I had found this product. I loved it. And what I did is I bought the recipes for the blend, took them home, played with them, made them better, brought everything local, and repackaged it, relaunched the image of the company with new packaging. And we're now in over 200 stores across New England. And hopefully by the end of the year, we'll be in stores nationwide.
That is a great story. As I recall, are you from Amherst?
Milford.
Milford, all right, one town away. So I want to put your winner back on. I think she's still with
Lauren.
Us. Lauren.
I am.
Hi, Lauren. What state do you live in? We were thinking it was Wisconsin.
No, I live in Texas, but I'm from Louisiana.
Oh, close.
Wow.
So I just heard the phone click. I hope we didn't lose somebody. So have you found that a lot of your cooking has Southern roots or Cajun roots, having been from the Texas-Louisiana area, moving around? Is that what a lot of your inspiration is?
Absolutely. I mean, I grew up in the New Orleans area, and, you know, the kitchen table was just where we all gathered. You know, on Sundays, my grandpa would make the best fried chicken I've ever had,
yum.
The big platter in the middle of the table. And even though lunch is over and you're stuffed, everyone's still sitting at the table talking. You know, we didn't get up from there. We just kept picking. So I was blessed to be raised in a family of amazing cooks. And this contest was kind of a fun puzzle for me. You know, here's an ingredient that's really awesome by itself, but how do you make it shine and make it different?
All right, now I'm a little confused now. Where is your Southern accent, Lauren?
I don't know. I always get accused of having an accent, but I always think it's the other person. I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah, because you don't sound like you
no.
have one at all. Do we sound like we have one?
Oh, of course.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, New Englanders. Although, Carol, you don't really have much of a New England accent like a lot of people who are from here.
I think we sound just like Lauren.
Well,
I've kind of, we've moved. My husband's job has offices all over the country, and we've kind of moved everywhere. So maybe I've picked up a little bit everywhere I've gone.
I'm going to guess, though, that when you're with family and maybe you've had a glass of wine and you're just around your family all the time, I bet that Southern accent comes right on back, sister.
You know, in New Orleans, we call it the yet, like where yet, part of the word.
Yeah.
We have a lazy tongue, and especially when that glass of wine is there, it definitely helps. So absolutely.
And where yet and who dat, right, for your New Orleans Saints.
That's right.
Before we let you go, let's let listeners know a little bit about your blog, Lauren, Fleur Delectable.
Yeah, thank you. It's just my personal blog about the recipes I create. Doing recipe contests is kind of a hobby for me as I stay at home with my two little ones. So it just highlights the contest that I enter. And if I'm lucky enough to win, I post it on there and just my family recipes and all the fun along the way.
There you go. And can you just let listeners know how they can get to it?
Yes, absolutely. It's just www.fleurdelectable.blogspot.com.
Perfect.
And Fleur spelled F-L-E-U-R, correct?
Yes.
French for flower.
That's right.
Heavy French influence in the southern, in Louisiana.
That's right. I got to have it there.
Oh, she just had a little bit of an accent there.
We also have Lauren's blog on our website. So if you go to our recipes page and you see the picture of the turkey taquitos,
the link
is directly to her blog. So that
there you go.
Folks can visit her there.
There you go.
And so, before we let you go, quickly, your website again, Shelley, so folks can take advantage of the free shipping today.
Is www.spicelens.com, or they can just find us in Hannaford, Market Basket, Whole Foods, hundreds of stores in the area.
Name dropper.
Sounds great. Thank you both for calling in, Shelley and Lauren. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Have a great day.
All right.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
$500.
Not too bad.
Pretty good.
I like her.
You should try doing that, Mike. I can see you doing that.
What, creating
recipes? Joining some contests like that.
Yeah, maybe I will.
I don't know why. I just...
Really?
Really.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm not as adventurous as I might appear in the kitchen, and I need to get past that. Maybe that'll be my challenge.
Well, you know, maybe you can look for some cookie contests.
Ah, there you go.
Right?
Yeah. Now that I've moved on beyond Deerfield Fair.
Or mac and cheese contests.
No.
All right. You're listening to Food for Thought. We're going to go on a short break, and we'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol and Mike on this rainy Tuesday, but it was much needed. And they did say it's tapering off, though. So
yeah, I was just looking at the radar here because, you know, I'm a weather geek, Carol, and it looks like
that
most of the
true.
Showers have shoved off to our south and east. I can't speak for all our listening area, but it looks like it has pretty much wrapped it up. And there might be a few sprinkles, and it should be a much better day today, tomorrow. Not terribly warm, though.
Yeah, I can at least go and work in my yard, though. That'll be good.
Well, your yard is going to be very happy because it got a nice drink of water the last couple of days. Well, and, you know.
And the best thing about it is I haven't had to water my plants.
That's what
I like. But well, I like taking care of my plants, but it's nice when you don't have to do them every day.
It's good to put it on autopilot once in a while. I mean, the weather was like July for a couple of weeks.
I know.
Grass was not happy.
I know.
Plants were not happy.
Well, they're happy now.
Yeah.
And you know, it, when they get a lot of water like that, they look so vibrant and, you know, everything just looks really nice. And let's just remind listeners that there is no show tomorrow, no Food for Thought tomorrow, because the Red Sox got rained out. So they're doing the game over tomorrow. They'll be hosting the Twins in game one of the doubleheader.
So. Yeah, it's what they call a day-night doubleheader. There you go. So that'll happen occasionally. We had to bump a couple guests because of the Red Sox, but they will be on a future show Thursday, of course, as we do every other Thursday. Mayor Ted Gatzis of Manchester is our guest, and typically we give him a nice lunch to enjoy while we just chat about whatever he wants
to
talk about.
Wait till you hear what he's going to get.
So you're not going to disclose what it is?
No.
Typically, we don't say ahead of time.
No.
Can we say that it's something created by you?
No.
Okay. I'm just guessing here. I have no idea what Carol's got up her sleeve. But she always arranges somebody to come in and take care of the mayor and give him a healthy lunch. We'll talk to blogger Linda Thompson-Ditch from Kansas. We just talked to a Louisiana and a Texan who is a blogger, and we'll be talking to Linda. It's kind of fun to hear people's take on food in different parts of the country,
which is
where these bloggers come in.
And, you know, Lauren, the one that we were just talking to, I think that she kind of goes on the healthier side because her food blog kind of, you know, looks a little bit more, healthier.
I'll have to have
black beans and,
right.
You know, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So Linda, I think, is more anything.
And comfort foods, I think.
And comfort foods, yes.
Which, if I was doing a food blog, that would probably be what I would do, too, because that's where my heart is, I guess. Chef Patrick will also be here on Thursday.
Love Chef Patrick.
From Lakes Region Community College and, of course, the Shaker's Table at Canterbury and that wonderful little corner of New Hampshire where we can look, take a peek back 100 and 150 years at how people live, because they've really preserved the buildings and the traditions of the Canterbury side of the Shakers, which was their main compound back, until that changed a number of years ago. Coming up on Friday, Comedy Cold Cuts. The theme yet to be determined, but we'll find something fun. And you told me it was what now?
National Donut Day.
National Donut Day.
On
so
Friday.
I will see if there's any comedy that we can.
Donut comedy.
Yeah, I
That'd
would
be
think there'd be something in there. I'm not sure how complimentary it'll be, but we don't care. We don't have any donut sponsors that I can see at this point. Oh, you know who else is going to join us on Friday? From The Chef's Plate, which is a TV show. You can see on WBIN.
Oh, Helen.
Helen Ryba will be joining us. And she was actually nominated for an Emmy, a New England Emmy. Didn't win. But the fact that she was nominated and probably keeping very good company with the other shows that were nominated. Helen Breiba is joining us. And then we'll wrap up the week with your dad, George Lawrence, who has given us great lessons in recent weeks on making from scratch sauce, tomato sauce. And also he makes a fine, as you know, because he's been your dad your whole life, a wonderful prime rib. And he whipped up a prime rib a couple of weeks ago and made sandwiches from it for the Midtown Cafe.
Yes.
I was lucky enough to be here long enough to get my piece of the action.
No, they didn't run out.
No, they didn't. Close. Yeah. Delicious. So I don't know. Does Dad know what he's going to share with us this week?
I don't think so. I don't know. I don't know. But it's always fun talking to him. You know, he just loves being in the kitchen. And he's kind of a, how do you want to say, you know, he performs in the kitchen.
Okay.
You know, and his house is all like an open kitchen with the dining room and
really?
Kind of like sitting area in front of this nice open hearth fireplace with the arm with the kettle on it and everything.
Seriously?
Yes.
Wow.
So it's very, very nice. And, you know, he loves to be like at his stove cooking away.
He seems like he really knows his stuff, I'm telling you.
Ken Kale is in the house.
Yeah, he'll be here at the Beacon Building here in just a few moments. Just a look ahead to next week here, because we're always planning ahead on fun and interesting guests. Susan Lachlan will be joining us on Monday. She is, writer of food at the New Hampshire Magazine. And she's going to talk to us about the Best of New Hampshire, which New Hampshire Magazine puts on every year. And this particular year is the first time they've ever done an outdoor version of Best of New Hampshire. Typically, it's been at the Verizon Wireless Arena for about the last 10 or 12 years. And this year, they thought, let's shake it up and give it a different vibe, give it more of a street fair feel. So they're going to do it at the Delta Dental Stadium where the Fisher Cats play ball.
Stadium. That's going to be fun.
So and of course, over the years, they've really opened up a lot of areas, the concourse, the left field dining area, and the Sam Adams Bar, and the whole deal, plus all the under the canopy section.
It should be really interesting.
Oh, it's going to be great.
And when Rick was on, remember he said that the entertainment's going to be like right on the field.
Right. Nobody else will be out there.
No, but the entertainment.
The entertainment. So,
cool.
No matter where you are, you'll be able to see it and hear it.
Yeah.
So that's we'll get more information
and
about
that. Do you
that.
Know that? Well, the Red Arrow will be at the Best of New Hampshire.
Good.
We have been there every year.
Well, because you're always winning stuff.
Every year, except for last year, we didn't go in.
Okay.
Every single year we've been there.
But you made a comeback this year, and is it your chili?
It is our chili.
Yeah.
So, and we will be serving chili.
Oh, that's fabulous.
Yeah.
So look for the Red Arrow Diner.
There you go.
Next Tuesday, you will be away. Carrie Lehman will be joining me as co-host that day. She did a great job a couple of weeks ago, so we are bringing her back.
Nice.
Our guests that day include Amy LaBelle of LaBelle Winery of Amherst. Quite a businesswoman. She and her husband have put together not only a great little vineyard and a production setup for wine, but they have a beautiful function center where you can have weddings or any kind of events, corporate events happen there. So they've turned it into a full-service entertainment center and winery.
Food there is delicious. Food is very, very good. Make sure you let Amy know it's one of Daryl's and mine favorite places to go. We love their charcuterie board.
Oh, okay.
They have a very good charcuterie board.
All right.
And I've been to see Marianne Esposito over there, so we've been to a couple functions in their hall, and they do it right. They do a very nice job.
They do some author events as well with Hobblebush Books. They'll bring in various people who have written books and do a little fun event with them. So I like how they've reached out to the community and are doing things that people can come to besides just have a glass of wine.
Exactly.
Which is, you know, kind of their go-to, but there's a lot more to do.
You know, have you been there?
I've been there, but I've never eaten there.
Okay. Did you go for, like, wine tasting, or were you in the function?
I was actually there for, I've actually had a couple meetings there.
Okay.
But I've actually not participated in. I think I bought something out of their cool little store there.
Very cool store.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when they do the, I want to go for like the wine tasting.
Mm-hmm.
They pull all the chairs from the bar and everybody just kind of stands up at the bar and you just kind of sit there and sip. And, you know, Daryl and I always say we got to go and check out, you know, do like a, you know, an official wine tasting over there. So it looks really cool.
Wine tastings are fun. I don't know if you've done them. We went to a couple of wineries in Maine a couple of years ago up near Acadia National Park. And that was fantastic. We really enjoyed that. So Amy LaBelle will be joining us on Tuesday. And then from the Manchester Food Co-op, Stephen Freeman will join us for the second hour for parts of that.
Nice.
Because Manchester Food Co-op is not open yet, but they have been collecting supporters. And when they get to a certain point, they will actually open the physical store where you can go in. Concord's have one successfully for many, many years. So it'll be next up, Steve Freeman, Manchester Food Co-op, joining us next Tuesday.
Fun. That'll be really fun. Mm-hmm. And let's welcome on Julie. I think she's flying in. You look so cute in your yellow puddle.
Thanks. I got my yellow slickers on just in case there's a monsoon.
I love them.
Look at that with the black, what kind of coat would that, what you call that?
Yeah,
it's very stylish.
I don't know. It's kind of got a little bit of kind of black and brown mixed
it's fun.
Back and brown mixed together.
Kind of like a black rain trench coat kind. Yeah. It's very beautiful. I love it.
Oh, thanks.
I love the yellow boots, though, the best.
You can't have them, Carol. Sorry.
I know. I really like them. I do. I do.
They told me I look like the Morton Salt girl.
Oh, my God. Yes. Do we have any salt she can put over her shoulder? You need the umbrella, too, and the little thing of salt.
That's a good idea.
I'll work on that.
Oh, we could paint you in yellow stripes. You could be a bumblebee. So.
Exactly.
For those of you that don't recognize her voice, as you should recognize her voice if you're listening to Food for Thought, this is Julie Barron. She's the president and CEO of Make-A-Wish New Hampshire. And you can check them out on the web at nh.wish.org. And what is happening upstairs at Make-A-Wish?
Oh, gosh. Okay, so the talk this morning at our staff meeting.
I love this because you're always so upbeat.
It's so much fun. It really is. So we're working on a little boy who wants a fish tank, a saltwater fish tank.
Okay.
And we had the guys from Tanked help us design it.
The TV show Tanked?
Yeah, the TV show
Tanked. How cool is that?
Those guys are characters.
Yeah, so he wanted a ship like within his tank, so you know, one of those kind of old ship that's at the bottom of the sea and it's got the sail bent over. And
how big is this gonna
cool.
be?
It's a big tank.
Is it gonna be like in his bedroom or something, or in the
I don't know where they're gonna put it yet.
Is Tank gonna take this one on?
Yeah, it's not going to be part of the TV show. Or anything.
Okay.
He just wanted them to design his tank.
Okay. That was his.
So
wish.
They've already designed it. They already made him. They made him the ship and everything, and we're at the final stages now where they're putting the tank around this amazing ship that these guys from Tank Design and made for him.
Oh, my.
For his tank. Yeah, it's going to be really cool.
It's too bad it won't be part of the show. It's probably not weird enough because they do some really outlandish stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, who knows? They might mention it or whatever, but it wasn't, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
but it was really.
When did you find out about this? You've been holding back on us.
Well, I know. Well, we do so many, you know, but I was getting particularly excited about this one this morning. And so he's going to get his tank on June 6th. So, you know, I always hold my breath, you know, when there are celebrities involved until it really kind of happens.
Yes.
But fish
included?
Yep, we'll make sure he gets some fish.
Typically say, you know, battery's not included.
The fish are included.
Well,
the tank guys aren't giving him the fish, but Make-A-Wish is going to make sure that fish are included.
I mean, fish are not cheap. I've never owned an aquarium, but I know they can run.
Well, and I think especially a saltwater one, too.
Yeah.
Saltwater? Yeah. I guess
and
so if it's got a sunken ship.
And it takes a couple of weeks because I guess the water, you know, there's probably your listeners who know a little bit more about this, but, you know, the water has to be ready, and so it has to wait a couple of weeks and... You know, so we're going to, you know, for the six, we'll put a couple fish in and then we'll take them out and we'll let the water do whatever it does for a couple weeks.
So
it's
fish
ready.
Divas, is that what you're telling me?
I guess. I mean, they have to have this perfect environment. I don't know what that's all about.
They have to adapt to the temperature.
Yeah,
you know,
and the pH and the salt blend and everything else.
Because I guess the ocean is the most steady temperature of anywhere.
You know, I would guess. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So that's why it's hard with a tank, because you've got to maintain, you know, the exact environment of the entire ocean.
Yes.
And so it can't be going up and down
in
temperature.
You can't have any El Nino or La Niñas going on in your little tank. Wow. Is this the first request of this type for a child to make a wish?
Yeah. We haven't had a fish tank before.
It must get really exciting when you when it's getting close to revealing the wish to the child, you know? Like, I mean, I could clearly tell when you came down that you had something exciting to tell us.
She had her boots on from cleaning the tank. It's so big. Well, I mean, and after the last couple of weeks, you dropped the "I want to go to the moon"
request on us. I
know.
Still can't wait to hear the details on that.
I know. I mean, we're still waiting yep. for some
wait
stuff for, to get back. Really,
wait
what
for
he
Buzz
wants.
Aldrin to give you a call
yeah,
back.
So
is that...
Buzz is going to give me a call back, and we're going to see what we can do. And you know. One giant step for childhood.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you got to tie that together somehow.
Yeah.
We're working on a movie, too.
Really?
Lindsay wants to make an animated movie. So it looks like that's happening. So stay tuned. We're going to have a premiere coming up for her movie. We're working on the venue. I don't know, you guys. We might need some MCs for this event.
Ooh.
Oh, really?
Be
yeah,
fun.
Yeah, that would be fun. You know, Miss New Hampshire will join you and everything.
Of course.
But, you know.
I could even get Miss Teen there if you wanted.
Ooh, that would be fun. Yeah.
Well, my friend Rosie, as we discussed before,
yes.
Did the same thing at the Institute of Art. I believe that's what it was, right?
Yeah.
Was it that building for her debut of a movie that she made?
That she made.
Must have been 4 or 5 years ago by now.
It was. I was looking that up. I think it was as long ago as 2005, 2006.
Oh, so.
No, maybe 6 or 7.
Oh, because she's got to be 17 yeah. or so by now. And I had just started working with the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation with her. And it was really fun. It was a whole red carpet event with, you know, paparazzi and past food and the whole deal. And I walked around with the camera interviewing all the kids, you know, like they were on the red carpet.
Yeah. You did a great job with that.
Thanks.
I absolutely loved that.
Oh, thank
that
you.
That was amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So I love that idea. So good. Well, you had some really interesting, quick-hitting stories to share today.
Well, thanks, everyone.
Yeah. You're very welcome.
Julie Barron, President and CEO of Make-A-Wish New Hampshire, nh.wish.org. If you want to do some volunteering or find out a little bit more about the organization, or if you know of a child that is in need of a wish, nh.wish.org.
The sky's the limit, literally, with the moon.
It is. I mean, my gosh, I can't wait to hear the details of that as it approaches. But Julie, thank you again for coming on.
Thank you.
Great to see you.
And don't forget, listeners, no show tomorrow due to the Red Sox hosting the Twins in Game 1 of the doubleheader. I love saying that. I sound like a sports
caster. Sound like you know what you're talking about.
I know. Well, it's because J-Dog has it all written for me.
Oh,
trust
he does?
Me. Of course he does.
Yeah.
All right. Bye, everybody. Kale and Company is up next. We'll see everybody on Thursday.